I would like to begin today's reminder with two powerful messages of glad tidings. And these are not my words. These are the words of your messenger, Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. Please remember salawat whenever I mention his beautiful name. He is reported to have said, and the hadith is recorded in the book of Imam al-Tirmidhi rahimahullah. Anas ibn Malik radiyallahu anhu, he makes mention, he narrates that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is reported to have said, إِذَا مَرَرْتُمْ بِرِيَاضِ الْجَنَّةِ, when you pass by the gardens of Jannah, when you pass by the meadows of Jannah, graze as much as you want. Graze as much as you want in these meadows, in these gardens of Jannah. Then the Sahaba Ridwanullahi ta'ala alayhim ajma'in, who were with the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, then they asked the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Ya Rasulullah, wama riyadul jannah? What are these gardens of Jannah? What are these meadows of paradise? The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he then responds, hilaqu dhikr, circles of remembrance, i.e. the remembrance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So my dear brothers and sisters, we have evolved and given the chaotic circumstances, now instead of having physical gatherings, we're having virtual gatherings, virtual circles, where, subhanallah, from different parts of the country, from different parts of the world, we've all gathered, we've all tuned in to do what? Have we gathered here to talk about dunya? Have we gathered here to perhaps learn, about dunya? La. We have all gathered at this time to do what? To remember Allah, to remember His Messenger, sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam, to mention the words of our Maker, subhanahu wa ta'ala, through the Quran, to mention the words of His Messenger, sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam, through the Ahadith, to deduce lessons, to ponder, to reflect, to get our priorities straight, to focus on al-akhirah. We've gathered here solely, solely, solely for the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So these circles are circles of remembrance, dhikr, remembrance of Allah azza wa jal. So we pray that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala makes this virtual gathering a gathering where the sakina, tranquility of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala descends upon each and every one of us. And may He azza wa jal make high, high mention of us, the seven heavens, I mean. So that's glad tiding number one. Glad tiding number two, my dear brothers and sisters, hadith is in the book of Imam al-Bukhari, rahimahullah. Abu Huraira radiyallahu anhu, he makes mention, an Abi Hurairata, anna Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam qal, kullu ummati yadkhuluna al-jannah. Allahu Akbar. So the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he says, My entire ummah, dakhal al-jannah, will enter paradise, illa man aba, except those who refuse. So before we get into that part of the hadith, let's just reflect on the first part of the hadith. Kullu ummati yadkhulun al-jannah. The entire ummah of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam will enter Jannah. And is that not what we are all striving for? Al-jannah. رِضَ اللَّهُ وَالْجَنَّةِ, the pleasure of Allah and Jannah. And subhanallah, subhanallah, look at these glad tidings. The entire ummah of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam will enter Jannah. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make us of those who enter Jannah. Ameen. And it is imperative, it is important now that we study the second part of the hadith where the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says that illa aba, there's a group who will not enter Jannah. So now who are these people? So the Prophet, the Sahaba, Ridwanullahi ta'ala alayhim ajma'in, who were with the Prophet at that juncture, they ask the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Ya Rasulullah, wa man ya'ba? Ya Rasulullah, who will refuse? Who will refuse? And then the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he says, Man ata'ani dakhal al-jannah. Whoever obeys me will enter Jannah. Wa man asani faqad aba. And whoever disobeys me, refuses. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make us all from those who are obedient unto the Messenger, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. I mean, so now that I've given you the glad tidings, my dear brothers and sisters, today's reminder, today's virtual sermon is going to be about Jannah and is going to be about getting into Jannah. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala help us to get into Jannah. I mean. So before we get into talking about Jannah and the ways to get into Jannah, firstly, I have to remind myself and then all of you all that no one will be able to enter paradise through his or her deeds alone. You have to bear this in mind. You're not going to be able to enter Jannah through your deeds alone, through your a'mal alone. And these are not my words, my dear brothers and sisters. Again, the words of the Messenger, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Hadith is recorded in the book of Imam Muslim, rahimahullah. The Prophet, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, is reported to have said, and the narration goes along the lines of these words. He says, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, observe moderation in doing your good deeds. And if you fail to observe them in perfection, okay, try to do as much as you can do. Now, obviously, this you have to understand this in the right context. What is obligatory needs to be fulfilled, okay? And within the obligatory actions, now let's say, for example, if you take the five daily salawat, you have to pray it. But let's say you've fallen ill now and you can't stand and pray. Then you are allowed to fulfill it to the best of your capacity. As in, if you can sit and pray, then you're supposed to sit and pray. If you are unable to sit, then you lie down and you pray. So similarly, for every act of worship, there are guidelines. The Prophet ﷺ did not leave us groping in the dark, because this hadith should not be misinterpreted or misunderstood. Or the Prophet is saying, do as much as you can do. So khalas, you know what? I don't think I can pray five times a day. So let me just pray thrice a day, twice a day. No, this won't work. Why? Because you have a general narration, and then the Prophet has gone on to give us more specifics in terms of how we're supposed to fulfill our deeds. Now take something like Hajj, for example. You know the conditions with regards to Hajj. If you're financially and physically able to do so, then it is upon you to do so. You understand? But now there can be a situation like, you know, during COVID, where you are financially and physically able, but the circumstances don't allow you to travel. Khalas, then too, it is not upon your shoulders. Or at a juncture where the circumstances allow you to do it, you're physically able to do so, but financially you're not strong enough. Then too, the responsibility falls off your shoulders. Or you're financially able to do so, circumstances also are favorable, but physically you're not able to do so. You're ill. Then too, the responsibility falls off your shoulders. So for each act of ibadah, you have obligatory acts, you have optional acts. So depending on the act of ibadah, you have specifics given to you by the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam to guide you with regards to how you're supposed to fulfill that act of ibadah. Someone has asked in the comments about wudu. It's the same ruling with wudu. There are guidelines given to us by the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Say, for example, at a juncture when you're not able to use water, you have to study the specifics. And obviously, in a short Friday sermon, I can't go into a lot of detail. But nonetheless, if you are not able to perform wudu, let's say in a situation where you're not able to perform wudu, either due to lack of water, you don't have water with you, or you have water, but you're not able to use the water due to perhaps a sickness or illness, then the deen of Allah, the teachings of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, tell us that you can turn to tayammum, dry ablution. You understand? So there are guidelines to govern every situation. Nonetheless, coming back to the hadith now, you see that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he says that try to do as much as you can upon this level of moderation. And then the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he tells us, and be content, be happy, for none would be able to get into Jannah, to paradise, because of his deeds alone, because of his a'mal alone. Then the Sahaba, Ridwanullah ta'ala alayhim ajma'in, they asked the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Ya Rasulullah, wala anta ya Rasulullah, not even you, O Messenger of Allah, even you are not going to be able to enter Jannah through your deeds? The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he then says, not even I am not going to be able to enter Jannah just through my deeds alone. And then he sallallahu alayhi wa sallam goes on to say, again, bear in mind, these are not my words, my dear brothers and sisters. These are the words of the Prophet himself. He says, not even I, except that Allah wraps me in His mercy, except that Allah shrouds me with His mercy. In other words, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is teaching us that it is exclusively through the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that you and I are going to be able to enter His beautiful garden, His Jannah. And then the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he goes on to say, to cap off that hadith, and bear this in mind, that the deed loved most by Allah is the deed that is done consistently, constantly, even though it may be small. Allah Azza wa Jal, He likes consistency. So even, see, one day you do a whole truckload of deeds, and then the next day, no good deeds at all. This is not a good approach. This is not the approach that is highlighted to us through the teachings of the Quran and the Sunnah, but rather consistency, al-istiqamah, consistency with your deeds, even if they be small. Let's say one day you go out and give a whole lot of charity, but then after that there is no charity at all. But rather, if you are able to consistently give, now let's say on a yearly basis, if you have allocated a certain amount, you must be consistent with that amount. On a daily basis, be consistent. On a monthly basis, be consistent. And so it is the same case with the other deeds as well. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala help us to be consistent with our deeds. Ameen. So now, having established this, I now want to get into narrations of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, my dear brothers and sisters in Islam, that do what? That talk about different types of glad tidings with regards to Al-Jannah. So let's start off. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he says that with regards to bearing witness that there is no deity worthy of worship other than Allah, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he says, for example, من مات وهو يعلم أنه لا إله إلا الله دخل الجنة. Another hadith, من شهد أن لا إله إلا الله مخلصا من قلبه دخل الجنة. So the first narration, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam says, the one who dies whilst having knowledge, whilst knowing, having ilm, knowing that there is no God worthy of worship other than Allah, دخل الجنة. This hadith, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he says, من شهد أن لا إله إلا الله مخلصا من قلبه دخل الجنة. The one who bears witness that there is no deity worthy of worship other than Allah, مخلصا من قلبه. In other words, sincerely from his heart, دخل الجنة. So this is where the understanding of Iman comes about. What is Iman? You know, when you, and if you want a more detailed discussion with regards to Iman, you can go and check on my YouTube channel. There is this series titled Words from the Quran and the Sunnah. So the whole objective of the series is to choose powerful words from the Quran and the Sunnah and to unpack it through the light of the Quran and the Sunnah. So the last episode that we were able to upload with the help of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala was with regards to the word Iman. So if you want a more detailed discussion, go listen to that video, inshallah. But nonetheless, just to understand Iman in summary, the definition of Iman is that it is قَوْلٌ بِاللِّسَانِ وَاعْتِقَادٌ بِالْجِنَانِ وَعَمَلٌ بِالْأَرْكَانِ. So the holistic understanding of Iman is that it is a statement upon the tongue, it is firm conviction in one's heart, and it is also action upon one's limbs. This is the holistic understanding of Iman. And it is very important that we as believers, because we identify ourselves as believers, right? We say we are mu'minun. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala keep us steadfast as mu'minun. It is important that we understand we have a holistic understanding of Iman, because today you do have certain people who say, oh, you know what? My Iman is in my heart and khalas. That's it. They're not bothered about deeds. You know, and when it comes to, you know, for example, offering salah or doing good deeds, they fall back onto this by saying, oh, you know what? Allah only looks at my heart. Now, when you have a holistic understanding of Iman, you will not fall back onto this. Yes, you have the hadith where the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he says, إِنَّ اللَّهَ لَا يَنْظُرْ إِلَىٰ سُوَرِكُمْ وَأَمْوَالِكُمْ. Indeed, Allah does not look at your outer form, at your appearance, at your bodies, nor does He look at your wealth. So your net worth is not something that Allah is concerned about, your net worth or your bank balance. ولكن عند الرب صلى الله عليه وسلم goes on to say ولكن ينظر إلى قلوبكم but rather Allah looks towards your hearts and most people stop the hadith there you know, very conveniently leaving out the last bit of the hadith what is the last bit of the hadith ولكن ينظر إلى قلوبكم وأعمالكم but rather Allah looks towards your hearts and your deeds وتلك الجنة التي أورثتموها بما كنتم تعملون When talking about Jannah in the Quran, Allah says, and that is paradise, urithumuha, that you will be made to inherit, bima kuntum ta'malun, because of what you did in terms of your a'mal, your good deeds. So, my dear brothers and sisters in Islam, it is important that we have this holistic understanding of iman, that it is qawlun bil lisan, it is a statement upon your tongue, and that is why you have ashhadu an la ilaha illallah wa ashhadu anna muhammad rasulullah, la ilaha illallah, based on the hadith that I just mentioned, and then the ayah in Surah Al-Baqarah, ayah number 136, Allah says, qulu amanna billahi wa ma unzila ilayna wa ma unzila ila Ibrahim wa Ismail wa Ishaq wa Yaqub wal Asbat وما أوتي موسى وعيسى وما أوتي النبيون من ربهم لا نفرق بين أحد منهم ونحن له مسلمون. What is the ayah? قولوا say آمنا بالله. We believe in Allah. وما أنزل إلينا and what has been revealed unto us. وما أنزل إلى إبراهيم and what has been revealed unto Ibrahim عليه الصلاة والسلام. إسحاق عليه الصلاة والسلام. يعقوب عليه الصلاة والسلام. الأصبات their descendants. وما أوتي موسى and what was given to موسى وعيسى. وَمَا أُوتِيَ النَّبِيُّونَ مِنْ رَبِّهِمْ And what was given to the prophets of Allah from their Lord, from Allah. لَا نُفَرِّقُ بَيْنَ أَحَدٍ مِّنْهُمْ We do not make any distinction between them. وَنَحْنُ لَهُ مُسْلِمُونَ And we are Muslims. We submit unto Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So my dear brothers and sisters in Islam, you have many ahadith that touch on this statement. You know of the famous hadith where the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم, he says, الْإِيمَانُ بِضْعٌ وَسَبْعُونَ That Iman has more than 70 branches. And then what did the Prophet say? Afdaluha, the most superior of them all, the greatest of them all, is Qawlu La ilaha illallah. The statement, there is no God worthy of worship other than Allah. Wa adnaha, and the lowest of them all, this is a hadith to reflect on, my dear brothers and sisters, the lowest branch of Iman is إِمَاطَةُ الْأَذَى عَنِ الطَّرِيقِ It is to remove something that is harmful, an obstacle, something that is harmful from the path, from the road. Today, how many of us do it, my dear brothers and sisters in Islam? And you know what's scary? If you are not willing to do it, then subhanAllah, you haven't even attempted to reach at the lowest branch of Iman. How many of us, we walk, we see obstacles, we see harmful things in the way, but yet we are least bothered. Oh, you know what? It did not harm me. So let me just, you know, mind my own business. We, subhanAllah, we tend to mind our own business at the wrong junctures. When you are supposed to mind your own business and not poke your nose into the affairs of others, we tend to love to do it. We want to be in the thick of it, subhanAllah. To be able to gossip about it, to be able to backbite about it. But when it comes to helping others, when it comes to, taking or picking up a thorn from the pathway or taking an obstacle away from the path, oh, you know what? I think I should mind my own business. And the deen says, mind your own business. Min husn islam al mar'i tarkuhu ma la ya'ni. It is from the husn, from the goodness of Islam of an individual that he leaves that which does not concern him. This is an erroneous understanding, my dear brothers and sisters. Is it not true? Today, we don't hesitate to backbite, gossip. And we know, subhanAllah, the teachings are so clear. We don't hesitate at all to entertain doubtful thoughts about others, suspicions about others. We don't hesitate. You know, we share quotes. We love to share quotes. Where, for example, you would see on a lot of our WhatsApp statuses and profile pictures and social media, basically. For example, gossip dies when it hits the ears of a wise man. And, you know, when we share it, we have this very nice feeling. You're like, you know what, mashallah, I'm wise. Why? Because gossip, it dies when it hits my ears. But, you know, conduct a litmus test. You know, put yourself in a situation where you are exposed to gossip and then assess yourself. Does it really die when it hits your ears? Or do you indulge in it? Does it not feel juicy, and do you not want to get more details? And don't you even feel the time you're on your you are on the phone talking to this person and you're gossiping about another person, and time flies, and subhanAllah, when you hang up, 50 minutes, 60 minutes, 100 minutes over the phone, gossiping about someone else. Al-Iyadu Billah. This is where we have drifted. And even if you're not gossiping, your heart, you need to assess your heart. How many times during a given day are you entertaining negative thoughts about others? Suspicious thoughts about others, jealous thoughts about others, just because someone else is thriving. This is shaitan, my dear brothers and sisters in Islam. Just because someone else is thriving, we look now with suspicion. Oh, you know what? He must be a crook. He must have done this. He must have done that. Or she must have done this. She must have done that. This is not... When you sit down, you have to understand. When you understand the deen, my dear brothers and sisters, inna salata tanha anil fahsha'i wal munkar. We know of the ayah that indeed salah does what? It prevents from al fahsha and al munkar. So if you are offering your salah, see, you have to understand one extreme, one end of the spectrum is they want to eliminate salah entirely, like I said earlier on. And the other end of the spectrum is that they're so obsessed with the mechanics that they completely lose focus. They forget about the inner dimensions. What is the actual purpose behind salah? If you're offering your salah on time and doing all of it and yet indulging in gossip, then there's something wrong somewhere that you need to rectify. There's some loose connection somewhere. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala help us to get things right. Ameen. So coming back now to that hadith, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he says that the lowest branch of iman is removing an obstacle from the path. And then the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he goes on to say, وَالْحَيَاءُ شُعْبَةٌ مِنَ الْإِيمَانِ and modesty is a branch of iman. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala help us to adhere to these branches of iman, and perhaps inshallah in another session we'll talk in more detail with regards to the branches of iman. So now, as I just mentioned, I gave you a hadith for qawl la ilaha illallah. Now coming back to the ways of Jannah, so Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam tells us this iman in your heart will drag you to Jannah. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us all access into Jannah. Ameen. Then the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam is reported to have said, "Man laqiya Allah la yushriku bihi shay'an dakhala al-jannah." Hadith is in Bukhari and the book of Imam An-Nasa'i rahimahullah as well. The one who meets Allah la yushriku bihi shay'a, without associating any partners unto him, dakhala al-jannah, has entered Jannah. Now this understanding of shirk, a lot of us think or associate partners unto Allah, I should not associate another god along with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Yeah, maybe, for example, I shouldn't worship the sun along with Allah azza wa jalla. I shouldn't worship the moon along with Allah azza wa jalla. I shouldn't worship, celestial objects along with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. For a lot of us, we think that is the only form of shirk. There are other forms of shirk, my dear brothers and sisters. For some of us, money is our god. Yes. We say, La ilaha illallah. There is no God worthy of worship other than Allah. And we say, I am a Muslim. I am a mu'min. Hanifan, Musliman. Wama ana minal mushrikeen. And I am not from those who associate partners unto Allah. But deep down, when you assess your heart, you have made money a God alongside with Allah Azza wa Jalla. You have committed shirk. Because why? You're ready to do anything for money. For some, it's their own egos. They worship themselves. For some, they worship their intellects. So these are all forms of shirk, my dear brothers and sisters in Islam, which we need to understand. If you are prioritizing your own intellect and disregarding the words of your maker, because you're looking at the Quran, you're looking at the Sunnah, and you're like, you know what? This does not make sense. This does not make sense to me. Now what have you done? You have begun to worship yourself. You have begun to worship your own intellect. My dear brothers and sisters in Islam. So you have to understand that these are also forms of shirk that one must be careful about. So when talking about other ahadith, for example, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam is reported to have said, "Inna lillahi tis'atan wa tis'een asma," that indeed Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, so the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he says Allah has 99 names. Man ahsaha dakhala al-jannah, whoever preserves them will enter paradise. Preserve as in, the scholars of hadith explain, preserve as in the form of memorizing them, in the form of studying them. See, some people think that it's just about memorizing them, like a parrot. Let me memorize all of these names and I'm going to enter Jannah. La. Preserve means to, yes, if you memorize it well and good, but more importantly than memorizing, preserve as in to study the names of attributes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Okay? To deduce lessons from the names and attributes of Allah Azza wa Jal. To recognize and acknowledge Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala through His names and attributes. To implement those names and attributes in your life. When you study about the forgiveness of Allah, that indeed Allah is Ghafoor, are you now implementing forgiveness in your life? When someone has wronged you, are you willing to forgive that individual? You know that you transgressed the limits of Allah so many times during a given day. And each time you run back to Allah, you're hoping and expecting that Allah will forgive you. Right? So just as how you expect Allah to forgive you, are you willing to forgive others? Are you willing to overlook the faults of others? Are you willing to pardon? You cry out to Allah, "Inna Allaha huwa ar-Razzaq," that indeed Allah is the provider, that Allah is generous. Are you generous with others when others come to you asking you for help, asking you to fulfill their needs? Are you generous? You turn to Allah begging for His mercy. Are you merciful unto others? Are you merciful unto others? This is the understanding of this hadith. It is not just merely to memorize the names and, you know, repeat them. Subhanallah. That is easy. Preserve as in to bring it, implement it into your lives, to study them in detail, to use them in your du'as, to study the attributes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and implement them in your lives. This is the understanding of this particular hadith. To go on, there are other ahadith as well. So the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam, he says that the one who repeats after the muadhin, إذا قال المؤذن الله أكبر الله أكبر فقال أحدكم الله أكبر الله أكبر. When the muadhin says الله أكبر الله أكبر, you repeat after the muadhin saying الله أكبر الله أكبر. You know, the other day I think, oh no, it was in that same video, I mentioned an example. And this is a beautiful test, my dear brothers and sisters in Islam, for you to test yourself. Think about it. Let's take an example where you are sleeping, okay? Your family is with you, everyone's safe and sound, okay? And then subhanAllah, what happens? Let's say in the middle of the night, if you are married, let's say your wife is waking you up. If you are not married, then let's say it's your mother or father waking you up, or it's your sibling waking you up. In the middle of the night, you're fast asleep. And what happens? They wake you up. And they say, let's say in the example of your wife waking you up, let's say your wife is waking you up and telling you, your one and only son, or your youngest child, your daughter, your son, is trembling and shivering because suddenly high fever. My dear brothers and sisters in Islam, how do you think you and I would react? Would we not get up, you know, in fright? And would you do you not think that we would get up immediately, run to our child? And let's say if it's a life and death situation, subhanallah, may Allah protect our children, may Allah protect our loved ones, may Allah protect our families, I mean. But would you not run out with your child, at times even forgetting that you're wearing nightwear, and rush to the hospital, rush to the doctor to save the life of your child? Would you not do that? You and I, we would. Why? Because we love our families. We love our children. We love our spouses. We love our parents. We love our siblings. Yes or no? But now let's rewind the example. Once again, you are asleep. Your children are all well. Walillahi alhamd, through the grace of Allah Azza wa Jal, your children are healthy. Your family is healthy. And then what happens? In the middle of the night, you're fast asleep. And now it's approaching the time for Salatul Fajr. And now it's not your wife who is waking you up, but rather the call of the Mu'adhin.
Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar.
Declaring the greatness and the grandeur of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And then the Mu'adhin calls,
Hayya ala salah.
The Mu'adhin calls you for salah. The Mu'adhin calls you for salvation. And then the Mu'adhin calls out,
As-salatu khayrun minan nawm.
The Mu'adhin declares that prayer is better than sleep. But then you and I, what do we do, my dear brothers and sisters in Islam? And I think we are all guilty of this. It's a work in progress and we all need to work on it. This is, I'm talking about the adhan for Fajr, and then you have the adhan for Dhuhr, you have the adhan for Asr, Maghrib, Isha. At times we're so engrossed in our work. At times we are indulging in our sleep. And we turn a blind eye, a deaf ear to the call of our Maker subhanahu wa ta'ala. Whilst Allah Azza wa Jalla is calling us to salvation. Allah is calling us to success. Allah is calling us to Jannah. Look at this hadith, the Prophet ﷺ says, as you repeat after the Mu'adhin says, Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar, you say, Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar. When he says, Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah, you say, Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah. When he says, Ashhadu anna Muhammad Rasulullah, you say, Ashhadu anna Muhammad Rasulullah. When he says, Hayya ala salah, you say, La hawla wa la quwwata illa billah. And so on and so forth. The entire hadith, the hadith is recorded in the book of Imam Muslim, rahimahullah. The Prophet ﷺ says, the one who does that, he repeats after the Mu'adhin, min qalbihi, saying it from his heart, Dakhla al-Jannah, will enter Jannah. Allahu Akbar. So many ways to enter Jannah, my dear brothers and sisters in Islam. Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he tells us, the one who says, Raditu billahi rabban wa bil islami deena wa bi Muhammadir rasula wajabat lahu al-jannah. The one who says, I am pleased with Allah as my Rabb and Islam as my deen and Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam as the messenger, Jannah becomes obligatory upon that individual. Jannah becomes obligatory upon that individual. Subhanallah. And then you have another hadith where the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he talks about Ayatul Kursi. He says, "Man qara'a Ayatul Kursi dubra kulli salatin maktuba." The one who reads Ayatul Kursi after every fard salah, nothing will prevent this individual from entering Jannah. Subhanallah. In another hadith, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he talks about Sayyid al-Istighfar. One who reads Sayyid al-Istighfar, Allahumma anta rabbi, la ilaha illa ant, khalaqtani, wa ana abduk, wa ana ala ahdika, wa wa'dika mastata'at, a'udhu bika min sharri ma sana't, abu'u laka bi ni'matika alayya, wa abu'u bi dhanbi, faghfir li, fa innahu la yaghfiru dhunuba illa ant. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he says, wa man qalaha min an-nahar, the one who says it in the morning, firmly believing in it, having deep conviction in it, famata min, and if he were to die during the day before it becomes evening, fahuwa min ahl jannah, he is from the people of Jannah. And the one who reads it in the night with firm conviction and firm belief, and if he were to die before it were to become morning, fahuwa min ahl jannah, he is from the people of Jannah. Hadith is recorded in the book of Imam al-Bukhari rahimahullah. Sayyidul Istighfar, the greatest form of istighfar, and I have touched on this in previous episodes, previous videos as well. I think I've done an entire video on just the Sayyid al-Istighfar. You can perhaps find it on my channel, inshallah. So similarly, there are so many ahadith, and due to the brevity of time, I can't get into all of this, but inshallah, we'll try to put up an episode touching on more ways to get into Jannah. My point being, there are so many ways that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, through His generosity, is established for us to get into Jannah. So my dear brothers and sisters in Islam, the reminder is to motivate you, it is to encourage you to work hard, to place your trust in Allah, to firmly believe in Allah, and to work as hard as possible, to do as many good deeds as possible, along with craving and expecting the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Because we know that merely through our deeds, we're not going to get into Jannah. But we do the deeds and yearn for the mercy of Allah Azza wa Jal and pray that Allah blesses us all with high ranks and degrees in Jannah. Ameen. So with that, I conclude this reminder. Inshallah, the talk will be posted on my social media. I can see in the comments that people are saying to post it. It will be posted, inshallah, right after we end the broadcast. And I look forward to talking to you all in another reminder soon, bi-idhnillahi ta'ala. I think I can hear the adhan being called out. So my part of the world, we're still in lockdown. And maybe certain other parts of the world as well, they may be in lockdown. You may be in a partial lockdown. Nonetheless, if your masajid are open, then you may go to the masjid and obviously partake in the Friday prayers. But if you are in lockdown and you're not able to leave your home, then right after this, and if it is the time for Salatul Dhuhr, do go ahead and pray your Salatul Dhuhr on time, making dua unto Allah Azza wa Jal. I conclude by praying that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala eases our affairs. May Allah Azza wa Jal, just as how He united us across these platforms, may He unite us in the beautiful gardens of Jannah with our beloved Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam. Ameen, ameen, wa akhir da'wayan, alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen. Jazakumullahu khaira. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.